You're listening to Gillespie Excellence in Internet Radio, only on FTRradio.com.
And welcome back to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. It has been quite the week. Oh my goodness. With us is Mark Warner. Mark, how you doing?
Yeah. You feel it, baby?
It's that time again, the time where we bring the best from the Midwest and Rhino goodness. He's cute, he's cuddly, he won't take a position to save his life. It's Mark Warner!
We came here at 6 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 to see them, and all they do is push you farther and farther away, and then they don't even let you see them.
Josh, I couldn't be better. People of Walmart.com, bacon, America, Yankees.
Sweet tea. You know, I'm hearing stuff in the background. I don't exactly know what it is. But
I don't either.
We've brought in someone special just because she's had a wonderful day today. And because it's ladies' night here on FTR. Well, at least on Gillespie it is. With us for our opening segment is Hannah Drazich, fresh off a root canal.
I hate you both so much.
You know,
Hannah.
It's a good thing I'm not going to see both of you at the same time anytime soon, because I'd probably kill both of you.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to get you your own intro music now at some point, because we've had you on the show way too many times for you not to have your own intro music. But we wanted to have you on because you are fresh off a root canal. And we wanted to get a play-by-play of your experience. How you doing?
I hate you. I feel like I was punched in the jaw, and it's not exactly a very good feeling to have.
What a...
I kind of want to go to sleep.
And here you are on our show instead.
Yeah. We're glad that you called in, Hannah. We're thankful that you called in.
Yes.
If it up to me, I would not have called in.
You know, I would expect that with the kind of surgery that you had on your mouth, that you'd be filled with gauze. How can you're speaking very clearly? So what's going on there?
5 hours ago.
So you know, when I had my wisdom teeth pulled out, those, you know,
they didn't take a tooth out. They just fixed a tooth.
They did a root canal. I mean, that's right there into your tooth.
There's no blood and guts like there is when you're pulling out wisdom teeth.
Blood and guts?
I don't know.
Apparently there is a lot of blood when you pull out a wisdom tooth. I was out. I didn't know.
Actually, when I had my wisdom teeth taken out, I had conscious sedation, and they did not numb me enough.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're just curious, Hannah. What are the drugs like?
They didn't give me any drugs. I'm taking ibuprofen.
Oh, seriously?
God, that's no fun.
I'm serious.
That just sounds awful.
That's no fun.
No.
Last time I was at the dentist, they gave me some Vicodin, and that stuff was freaking awesome.
I want Vicodin.
Now, you sound like you're about to cry. We don't want you to cry.
Cry. Yeah. There's no crying in baseball.
No crying. All right.
Whatever. This isn't baseball, and I just had a root canal, and both of you boys would be crying right now. So shut up.
No, actually, I'd have some Vicodin in my body, and I'd be passed out.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Mark Warner.
My dentist, oh, yeah, they load me up.
I'd be, like, laying here, and the room would be spinning, and I'd be like, yeah, man, what's up?
I'd be
listening to Snoop Doggy Dogg and The Doors. And I'd be like chilling.
I think it's a conspiracy though, because it was like a female dentist and a female whatever. They like putting other females through pure torture. So I think it's a conspiracy.
That's not a nice thing to say. I mean, this is ladies' night on Gillespie, and you just happen to be the first lady on tonight. We also have tremendous guests And from Smart Girl Politics, Terry Kristoff, and one of our regulars, one of our wonderful regulars, Sherilyn Harley Laban. So how dare you say that women like to go after each other like that?
They do. Have you never watched Twitter, ever? Back from high school and college? Have you ever been around more than one woman at a time?
Not for a long time, no.
There you go.
I'm married. I'm not allowed to be around more than one woman at you know, multiple times.
Probably for your own good and your own safety.
You're probably right, yeah. Oh, what's been going on with you, Hannah?
Nothing.
How can we harass you a little bit more?
I've been volunteering for the Romney campaign. Woo, Rhino, right there.
Really? Tell us, what have you been doing for the Romney campaign? Well, first of all, where the heck are you?
I don't know. I'm in some unknown. I think I'm in New Hampshire right now, but I don't really know.
Yeah, because we've talked to you in Montana, Indianapolis, Timbuktu, Djibouti. You've been all everywhere. And
Djibouti, really?
North Korea.
Yeah. Whatever Mark just said. So
South Korea.
Yes. So and now you're in New Hampshire. What?
Communist China.
Communist Cuba. You've also been hanging out with Chavez down in Venezuela, haven't you?
Hey, I was at the Cuban Revolution on Sunday with Sarah Rumpf and Sarah Smith, so you can't really knock that too much.
Whoa, what's that? What was that about?
This bar.
We got to hang out with the cool girl this weekend.
I did. We hung out at a bar. It was kind of fun.
Oh, was a Cuban Revolution as a bar?
Yeah.
Oh, hanging out with Sunshine State Sarah, huh?
Yep.
She's and the hippie Sarah.
Oh, Mama Swati?
Mama Swati.
Oh, I miss...
Yeah, she works at that bar, so we went down there to see her.
Say what? I thought she lived in Memphis. When did she move?
Both of us lived together.
I know. I work, so I don't spend my entire day
on Twitter. More than I am.
I am not.
Yes, you are.
I would agree with Mark on this one, Josh.
Oh, shut up. All right, So Sarah has moved to Massachusetts?
Yeah, both Sarahs.
Well, I know Sunshine State Sarah is in Massachusetts. She's working on the Sean Bielak campaign.
We're living together in Massachusetts.
No way. I did not know this.
What decade do you live in?
Well, shut up. All right? It's not like Sarah Smith moved to Massachusetts in the last decade.
Don't tell me to shut up.
I'll tell you to shut up. I don't care if you've had a root canal. So,
well, damn you, straight to hell.
Whoa. This is my show. I'll kick you right off. So,
I don't care. You called me. I don't care. You can do whatever you want. I did not want to talk to you tonight.
Wow.
What kind of hate, Hannah?
That is hate. That's hate. How do you think we're going to keep on bringing you on the show if you keep on treating us like this? I don't know.
On G-Chat lately. I haven't been able to get out my Josh anger.
Actually, I have been on G-Chat. I've just been invisible.
You blocked me, didn't you?
No, I didn't block you. I just make sure to stay quiet when I see you're online.
Whatever! I hate you. I hate you so much.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't. So what have you been doing for the Romney campaign, Miss Super Volunteer?
Phone calls.
Oh.
So far.
What kind of message are they spreading in New Hampshire?
Actually, right now, they kind of split up, and the GOP is doing a lot of it, and a lot of their staffers now work for the GOP to save money on the campaign.
Oh, smart.
So we were actually making phone calls for the GOP.
Well, okay, so I saw on Facebook this weekend you met Sharon Day, the vice chair of the RNC.
I did. She's super awesome. I really like her. She's a really nice lady. So I didn't get a whole lot of time to talk to her. But she spoke for a little while because it was a super Saturday in New Hampshire. Well, actually, all across the U.S. and all of their target states, they had like a super Saturday. And our goal was to hit like 20,000 phone calls for the entire state, and we hit it, which was kind of epic because that's a lot for a state that's not very big. And so then she came and spoke to kind of kick it off. Then there were a lot of volunteers in the morning, and they kind of dwindled off as the day went. But that was really good. And then I was over there for a little while today, making phone calls. And I know on Thursday they're doing a big thing. I have to remember what it's called. Hold on, I'll tell you. But I might be just doing some things for FTR for that.
Oh!
What?
You're doing stuff for FTR?
I might be.
Hold on. I know that Duke harangued Terry Kristoff into starting a show again. What's he doing with you?
Nothing. I offered. They're doing, it's called Young Americans for Romney. It's, and they're making like phone calls. They're trying to get younger people in to make phone calls to volunteer. It's the first rally that they, like this they've ever had, across the nation. So, like the state director will be there. There will be some people from national headquarters in Boston that'll be there. So I might be doing some interviews if they'll let me. But I know media is going to be there, for that, some media at least. So I might get some interviews.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, we might need to make you a special correspondent for Gillespie.
Hey, you never know.
Shoot.
I might now, be now you're doing that.
Hey, now we're... you're a part of the Hoosier Access family.
Yeah.
You tell Duke to keep his dirty paws off.
But you know what? I can't do stuff like this for Hoosier Access because I'm not in Indiana. You can't do Hoosier Access in New Hampshire.
What kind of crap is that?
Yeah, we'll take you. We don't mind.
You don't have to be in Indiana to do stuff for Hoosier Access.
So true.
Okay, you can post my interviews on Hoosier Access.
How about we also post your interviews on, wait for it, Gillespie. Huh? That'll show Duke, all right? Thomas LeDuc,
tell
if you're listening.
Tell that douchebag to keep his dirty paws off of you.
Thomas LeDuc, if you're listening to this show right now, you stay away from Hannah. She's ours.
I already had a long talk with Duke this afternoon.
Gosh, I tell you,
sell him to the highest bidder. How's that?
Oh,
what's that?
That's how it is.
What'd she say?
That's how it is. We bring you along. We take you under our wing, and now it's selling you out to the highest. You're going to go sell out to the highest bidder. That's how it is.
Wow.
Politics.
Wow.
You are a rhino.
I'm send some text messages out to some people right now.
That's right. Mark, get on Duke.
Mark Warner.
Oh, I'm not sending anything to that douchebag Duke over America guy.
Thomas LeDuc is a LeDouche.
Okay, how about we all play nice and FDR can have them and Josh can have them. Everybody can have them. There's no copyright.
We're going to have words with Thomas LeDouche.
And then next time...
Here's what's going to happen. Duke's going to claim them, and then you can be like, look what I did. I'm Duke. I'm Thomas LeDuc. I'm from Michigan. We jacked your mayor up and blah, 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 blah.
And no. And see, if we did it, if we took control, we'd be like, Hannah Drazich, political beat reporter for Gillespie, did these interviews herself and is submitting them. All right?
Okay, next time I will do exclusive interviews for Josh Gillespie.
I cannot believe that you have sold yourself out like this without even giving us a heads up.
Wow.
I'm sorry?
Wow, Hannah.
Wow. Way to work behind our backs. Thanks.
Yeah.
And thank you, Thomas LeDuc.
Yeah, Thomas LeDuc, you big douchebag.
If you had called me earlier today, I would have never even talked to Duke.
Hey!
What?
Didn't even know this was an option. Did
you
not know this was an option.
With us over this?
Why did you guys call me?
Why couldn't you consult with us over this?
Yes. But you know what?
Everything else.
Mark? We're gonna be done with her with this segment. We're coming back to you, all right, sweetheart. We're gonna come back to you, and we're gonna get this resolved.
Oh, really?
Yes. And then we're gonna take it out on Thomas LeDuc. Isn't that right, Mark?
All four of us are gonna get his.
He is gonna get his.
He's from Michigan.
That's right.
Whatever, bitches. I love you both.
On that note, I want everybody to stick around. Coming up next, we're gonna be talking with Terry Kristoff of Smart Girl Politics. CPAC, and her brand new show, Here's the Thing, airing every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Terry Kristoff, we'll be right back after this. Something moving, feeling new air. It is real quiet, muddy water.
FTR Radio is from the right radio. Online at FTRradio.com.
This is Jedediah Bila, and I'm listening to FTR Radio from the Right Radio online at FTRradio.com.
And- And welcome back to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. I am pleased, everyone, to introduce our next guest. She is a welcomed voice to FTR Radio. Her new show, Here's the Thing, debuted today, earlier today at 11 a.m. on FTRradio.com. She's the smart girl with, well, I don't know, how does Fingers introduce
smart
Amy
girl
Miller?
With a smart girl with a smart mouth.
Well, yes. And you are truly the smart girl. Ladies and gentlemen, Terry Kristoff.
Hey, thank you. I'm not sure I've ever been on your show before. So this is kind of fun.
Well, we're pleased to have you, Terry.
No, it's great. Lots going on this year, so plenty to talk about.
Absolutely. Well, the first thing that I think we definitely need to bring up is Smart Girl Summit, which is coming up in just 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, actually.
Yes, it's actually a little bit of panic time right now. It's July 20th and 21st, so really just about 10 days. Yeah.
Well, tell me, is there still time to sign up?
Absolutely. We have some spaces available for tickets. We do think it will sell out, so you know, if people are interested in coming, they should go to sgpaction.com/SGS, and we have all the information. We have as much of the agenda up as we can at this point. We're still finalizing people, so I'm hoping maybe by Wednesday we'll have it pretty much nailed down and we can, you know, let everybody know exactly what's going to be going on. But you know, we have a lot of good stuff, a lot of good training sessions and a few panels and a lot of good speakers and a few open bars. So I think, you know, it's worth worth taking a look at.
Oh, well, I know that Mark is definitely going to be looking forward to the open bars.
Bar?
Someone say bar.
And unfortunately, I can't make it this year. I was really looking forward to it. I know.
Well, if it was in Indianapolis, you could have, Josh.
That's, you know what? You're right.
And that's why we're going to bring it next year right to your front door.
Oh, Terry, don't tempt us like this.
Yeah, don't tease us. Terry.
Don't tease. Because Mark and I have been on the SGP Girls to bring it to Indianapolis for the last 2 years.
I know. And it is definitely on the list. We think that we're so smart with some of these things. So we're like, last year we were going to St. Louis because it's near Iowa and everybody would be around for the Iowa caucuses. We're going to come down and didn't quite work out that way. And this year we're in a swing state. We're in Virginia. It's super important. Everybody's going to want to be there, but maybe not working out that way. So, I mean, you're our last best hope there in Indianapolis that you can deliver, you know, the big stars from your state.
Well, not only can we bring the big stars to our state, but by goodness, if we can host the best Super Bowl ever, we can host the best Smart Girl Summit ever. Isn't that right, Mark?
Boom.
You guys are like your own little tourism committee right there.
Well, I mean, shoot, we had the Super Bowl. What else do we need to do to convince
you people? If we can handle the Super Bowl, we can handle Smart Girl Summit.
If we can handle New Yorkers and people from Boston, we can handle SGP.
You can. No. We're a nice group of gals, and I think that would be very fun. And it has been on our list both years, but for whatever, you know, we think we're so smart with our strategy, but we might as well just, you know, go and have fun and not worry about
being
strategic.
Well, and you know, you got a couple smart guys around here too.
That's always helpful.
It is always
Fingers
helpful.
Fingers and I are here. It works.
That's right.
Hey, Mark.
Oh-ho!
Hey, Mark.
Oh-ho!
This is just you getting back for the last couple weeks of episodes where we've piled on you.
I'm trying to look ahead, though. Like, you know, every year it's kind of been a theme, but like, what's going to happen next year after so much this year? What's, you know, I mean, this year, women, the economy, the election, getting out the vote, registering people to vote. I mean, all of that still will happen to some extent next year, but it's kind of hard to look ahead. What's it all going to be in a year from now?
Well, that is true. But before we get ahead of ourselves to 2013, why don't you give us a kind of an idea of what is going to be happening at the summit this year?
Okay, absolutely. One thing we like to do is training to kind of get women, you know, accustomed to some of the latest things in activism or whatever it may be. So this year, getting out the vote, we're going to be doing some training with Raz Schaefer, who you probably know from American Majority. He's going to be on hand. He was there last year in St. Louis to really concentrate on getting out the vote. I think going, you guys are campaign guys, going door to door, phone banking. It's going to be super important this year. So that's going to be part of it. But we're also thrilled to have Franklin Center involved this year because they are really big on doing this citizen watchdog, citizen journalism track. So they are going to be teaching us not just to be activists, but to be our own journalists too, which I think conservatives have found to be very effective in fighting the media bias and getting stories out there. So definitely we're going to, you know, part of the day is going to be on training. We're going to do a few panels, one on the war on women, kind of the fabricated war on women that the left is waging this year, but also kind of talking about the war that's waged against conservative women who don't fall in lockstep. So that one's exciting. We're going to have some book signings with Katie Pavlich, who has written the book about Fast and Furious. Mm-hmm. Wow, we have a whole bunch. We have Renee Elmer speaking. We have Anne-Marie Burkle speaking. We're going to have Tom Price speaking about Obamacare. What's next? What do we do in the next steps? So, and we still have a few people to confirm. We're kind of in those last stages of getting some people confirmed. So, like I said, hopefully we will have a more complete agenda up. But it's a good mix of training sessions, so you're not just being talked at. You're kind of participating in it. Some panels, some speakers, and then socializing. And, of course, on Friday night, we have our banquet where we give out awards to our activists. And again, we're waiting to confirm some speakers for that. So hopefully we will have that information tomorrow.
Well, I remember when I attended the SGP summit a couple years ago and when you last had it in the Washington, D.C. area, it was convenient that you guys had it a weekend. Congress was still in session. And I remember Michelle Bachmann came and spoke. And I mean, just the thing is, when you have it in D.C., even though the politicians are right there, or some of the speakers that you want are right there, if votes are running late, sometimes they'll be late. And I remember Michelle Bachmann was running a little bit behind.
Oh yeah,
but still, that was a fantastic event. And I remember that was my first real big kind of social media kind of conservative event. And Mark was able to introduce me to you guys. I was able to do some stuff with the FTR people because I know FTR is always very much involved with SGP.
Absolutely, they will be there.
And so it was a blast.
Well, what we like to do, I mean, it is about between 250 and 300 attendees. So it's small. I mean, CPAC is great for its own purposes, but it's like so huge. You just can't navigate it and it's hard to get time to talk to people. So it's really nice, these smaller conferences where you can really get to know other people, spend some good quality time with them. It's a lot, I think it, for me personally, it's a lot more fun than just being overwhelmed by so many people and so many events. So I think it'll be fun. It's just a little bit of a different flavor this year. It's just like craziness, like I said before. It's just hard to get people to confirm to be there. But I think we have a really nice agenda, good people, which is the best part of it, getting out and meeting people.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think the agenda you guys have going this year is going to be fantastic. And, you know, people always wait till the last minute. Not just speakers, but people who are going to be attending the summit. They always wait till the last minute. I know that was that way with Right Online. They had some people coming up until the very last minute, and they were able to bring in some people. And
that's fine. I mean, I understand. Yeah. I'm the same way. I want to see who is going to be speaking and what it's all going to be about, and if I have the time. So absolutely, if people want to, you know, register online up until the last minute, that's fine. Or they can just come to the Westin, or just go to sgpaction.com and you can get all the information. We can definitely do on-site registrations and just be looking out for the final agenda, which we hope to roll out if some good things, you know, go our way. But it should be a lot of fun, and I think conservative women are going to play an important role this year. We need them out there on the ground. So come join us. Get motivated. And of course, men are welcome. I get asked that all the time. Is it just for women? Absolutely not. But it is, you know, mostly women. So if you're afraid to be around big groups of women, then it might not be the place for you.
It is the Smart Girls Summit, after all.
It is. So, but we have, you know, we have a lot of men that are members too. And I mean, the training is not particularly, you know, gender specific for women or anything.
Right.
So it's, you know, the information is good for both genders and we love everyone. We're conservatives.
Sure. Well,
you guys, anyone out,
you guys have actually had a very big year. The whole Smart Girls organization, you guys rolled out CPAC this year as well, didn't you?
Well, it's kind of separate. It is. I mean, no, it's not kind of. It is separate from Smart Girl Politics. So it's kind of it's another project of mine that kind of goes hand in hand with Smart Girl Politics. SGP is a nonprofit. We actually have a C3 and a C4. which is kind of technical, but it means, you know, to the IRS, you can't get too political. You can do some endorsements and you can do some things, but mostly you have to be apolitical about what you're doing. And I feel like, you know, this year it's really important to be able to put resources and to coordinate with these candidates that are out there, these conservative women like the Mia Loves, the Deb Fishers that are running. So I was fortunate enough to meet some people that were looking to start a PAC. So it's two separate things, but, you know, I'm involved really heavily with both SGP and CPAC because I just feel really strongly about getting resources to conservative women because they're really, you know, they want to make a difference. They're fighting for their kids' futures, and so am I. So I want to support them. So it's been crazy, but we got Smart Girl Summit coming up. CPAC just did a big fundraiser with Condi Rice, which was kind of really exciting. So it is a big year. I mean, it's just like, I don't know what happens the day after the election day. Do we all just kind of pass out? I don't know.
Well, you brought up something earlier with the whole war on women, and I know you guys are going to be addressing this at Smart Girl Summit, but with the whole Democratic meme of war on women, you guys have really been out there in supporting female candidates, and it seems as if that female candidates, especially this year, Republican female candidates, are more empowered. They're more willing to be out there and kind of defy this whole meme that Democrats are trying to push. Do you feel like that Smart Girl Politics is really kind of pushing back against that whole concept of the war on women, that actually this is the Democrats who are waging a war on women, not Republicans?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've written about this before in various places, that Emily's List did a survey last year, and they found out that they are losing women. Women that voted for Obama in 2008 are not really pleased with him, mostly because of the economy. I mean, I think women are no different from the men. It's the economy right now. And so he's losing support among women, especially married women, women with children. He's losing support big time. So they're like, well, what can we do? I mean, and the only arsenal, you know, weapon in their arsenal is to make women afraid. Oh, you're going to lose your birth control and make them scared so that they'll vote. They're scared into voting, to the Democrats, because, oh, the Democrats are going to save the day. But I really just don't think it's working. And I think that I'm really excited that there's all these women out there on the campaign trail that are fighting back. I mean, Ann Romney's been one of the best voices out there pushing back and saying women really care about the economy. But it is a false war. It's completely phony. It's made up because they want the women to vote their way this year. But women are smarter than that. And they see, you know, you go to the gas station, the grocery store, you're unemployed. I mean, it's basic needs right now that women are fighting for. So, you know, I think it'll only get worse as the election season goes on. I don't think they're going to give it up. But one of the important things about Smart Girl Politics, which I've always wanted it to be, is when these women do run for office, that they have this network of women that will support them and fight back when they're attacked. So we have these great ladies out there, and it takes a certain amount of courage to run for office as a conservative woman. So what I would like to see with CPAC and Smart Girl Politics is that there's just this network that can be tapped into, that can blog and get on social media or get on local radio shows or whatever it is, and fight back, fight on behalf of these women, because we need every election cycle, we need more and more and more, because, you know, conservative women are where it's at, and we're just severely underrepresented at all levels of government.
Well, talking about representation, you have been a rock star this year, not just with Smart Girl Politics and with CPAC, but you have returned to FTR.
After much harassment by one Thomas LeDuc.
Oh, he's Mark, you know what it's like to be harassed by Tom.
He's a douchebag.
He is a grade A nag, that man.
Well, he has finally nagged you into coming back to FTR with your new show, Here's the Thing, airing every Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Tell us about your show.
Well, I wanted to do a show that was kind of just my thing. I had done something called Smart Girl Nation before for it was sporadic, but did it for about a year, I guess, maybe even a little bit more, that was really closely aligned with Smart Girl Politics. But when, you know, like I said, we're a nonprofit, and there's really a lot of limitations on what we could talk about, because you can't get too political, you can't get a candidate on there that can talk about their candidacy. So I didn't want to be held back by that. I wanted to be able to talk to all these great people and not be limited about what I could talk about. So it's just sort of me just talking about the issues that I see through SGP, through CPAC, on Twitter, whatever it is, or whatever, you know, like Tom, he knew of a local candidate, a young woman. Actually, she's a representative there, a state representative in Michigan. So she's one of our first interviews who is facing a very tough primary battle, and you know, for some reasons she's being attacked, and that's a great kind of story I would love to talk about. And so that's the thing. I mean, here's the thing. It sounds very NPR. I know it's kind of crunchy, kind of granola-ish, but I always NPR. Say it. I always go, here's the thing. When I was doing the podcast before, like it was setting up for some great piece of knowledge. Well, here's the thing, blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, all right, I'll just use that. I was going to name it So Here's the Thing, but then like the acronym would be SHT, and I thought, nah, that probably shouldn't work.
Yeah.
So I'll just go with Here's the Thing, and hopefully that'll work. But I'm very excited. Tom, he was a big help, a big nag, but also a big help. So I'm very excited to be back on FTR.
Oh, we're definitely happy to have you part of the FTR family.
Some class back.
That is true. My goodness. You know, but beforehand, it was Duke over America at 11, and gosh.
Well, now I get to alternate with him.
Well, oh, you're alternating?
Well, he's going to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I guess some Tuesdays, maybe some Thursdays. It's sort of up in the air, but I don't get to be in prime time anymore. I used to have a good spot up in the 9 o'clock hour, but that's gone, history. But if I start saying bad words like I did once on the Snark Factor, I've been assured I might get bumped up to the evening hour. So there is always that possibility.
You know,
you can start with this show if you wanted to.
I'm on good behavior today.
Well, yeah, because I heard the kids in the background.
Yes. Yeah. Did you? Yeah.
That's okay. Hey, I know. I got kids too. I understand what it's like to have them in the background.
Yes. Well, they just got back from the swimming pool and they're very excited. So I'm sure something really exciting happened at the local pool that they must tell me about.
Of course. Of course. Well, Terry, where can they find you on the interwebs?
Well, I am on Twitter. Not enough lately, but I'll have to work on that. At Terry Christoph. Terry's T-E-R-I. Christoph is C-H-R-I-S-T-O-P-H. But if you want to find out more about Smart Girl Summit, go to sgpaction.com and you will see all sorts of information. And if you're interested in CPAC, it's CPAC, S-H-E-P-A-C.com. That site needs to be updated a little bit. We're a little slow on that one, but we're going to come out with a few new endorsements, very, very exciting endorsements coming up, and maybe some more stuff with Condi Rice in the future. That would be kind of cool.
Really? More Condi Rice?
I'm hoping. It sounds like, you know, I don't know her that well, but it sounds like she's interested in getting on the campaign trail, not as a candidate. I don't think that's going to happen, but, you know, on behalf of candidates. So hopefully that would be great.
I said, you're being a big tease. First, bring SGP to Indianapolis, and now Condi Rice as a VP candidate?
Right. I don't think so. I think she's pretty much said she's not interested. But I think she wants to help the candidates that are out there. So maybe we'll see more of her on the campaign trail. And yes, I am really interested in Indianapolis. Absolutely. I love Mike Pence. I want him to speak at Smart Girl Summit.
You know, well, one, if you do actually bring the Smart Girl Summit to Indianapolis next year, he will be Governor Mike Pence.
I know he will.
And Mark, I believe...
And we'll have a Lieutenant Governor, Sue Elferman.
Yes.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
Another smart girl as one, our smart Lieutenant punch. Governor. Oh, yeah.
Dang, I like that. See, now you're sweetening the deal. Well, and I know there's some... I remember Mark said there was some specific restaurant that was awesome. There was some restaurant or bar, maybe. Maybe it was a bar.
Oh, Scotty's?
That may have been it.
Mark, were you talking about Scotty's?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Scotty's.
So I think it could be fun. We need to kind of get out there, mix it up, get off of the East Coast.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Real people are in Indianapolis and in the Midwest.
I like real people.
Yes.
I need more real people in my life for sure.
Well, Terry, thanks for being on the show.
Thank
Everyone,
you.
Go to SGP Action, find out more about the Smart Girl Summit, and check out CPAC. Follow Terry on the Twitters.
On the Twitters.
And, anything else you want to say, Terry, before we go?
I think that's it. I think that's about as much as I can handle right now are those two groups. But, you know, always happy if people have ideas for the new podcast, you know, some stories about conservative women, please bring them to me. I would love to share that on the podcast.
And check out her new show, Here's the Thing, airing every Tuesdays at 11 a.m. here on the King of Internet Radio, FTRradio.com. You're listening to Gillespie here on FTR Radio. We will be right back, continuing our ladies' night with Cheryl and Harley Laban.
When I say you'll be lost alone, and liar schemes and soul machines will hang me from my rope. I'm tired of running from what I was into.
FTR Radio salutes some of the great Democrat presidents in the radio era. FTR Radio.
And welcome back to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. With us this segment is one of our personal favorites. We love having her on the show, and we were going to have her on last week, but man, there were some bad storms on the East Coast, but she's here this week. Ladies and gentlemen, Cheryl Lynn Harley Laban. Cheryl Lynn, how are you doing?
I am great and happy that our power outage is no longer with us and that we're all back online and phones are working, and the grocery stores have power, and our refrigerators are now working. So we're thrilled to have that.
Oh, my goodness. I can't even imagine what you could have gone through, but we're glad that we're glad that you're back and online.
Thank you. Glad to be back online.
Well, we were going to have you on last week to talk about the Supreme Court decision on Obamacare. And we know, in a sense, that it's a little bit of old news, but still, we love your insight into how you think that the Supreme Court came to their decision, as well as what happened. Even though we record on Mondays, this is airing on Tuesday, so I'm going to say it earlier today. The House voted, I'm going to guess, to repeal Obamacare, which, with a Republican-controlled House, is pretty much inevitable. First of all, Cheryl Lynn, what was your take on the ruling, and were you surprised?
Oh, yeah, I think we all were, because everybody received talking points in all these various scenarios, and I'll tell you, this was not one of the scenarios at all. So, like everyone else, I was caught by surprise. You know, I thought I knew Justice Roberts pretty well, because when I was former senior counsel on the Judiciary Committee, of course, my job was primary portfolio with nominations, so confirmation of judicial nominees.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually worked on the confirmation of Judge Roberts to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. So I read through many, many, many of his decisions. You know, most of these kind of nominations processes take a very long time, and you need to really read through their opinion. So I thought I knew him fairly well. But I'll tell you something. The inkling that I had about how this whole Obamacare vote was going to go was on Monday when the Arizona decision came down,
mm-hmm.
and Justice Roberts voted with the liberals on that one. I thought, oh, I think we've got some surprises coming on Thursday. Sure enough, it was a big surprise. You know, there have been so many dissections and analysis of what went on, right? And what was going through Justice Roberts' mind. And I know, and even his former clerks have written articles. I just read one the other day. And I can't add any more to that except that I honestly believe that he felt that the reputation of the court had been jeopardized with Citizens United, with Bush v. Gore, with all of these things and the accusations that the court was so politicized. And I think in some way, you know, if I could do my little pop psychology for a minute, I think in some way he was hoping that his opinion and the way that he ruled could somehow legitimize the Supreme Court again.
Well, it seems to have had the opposite effect. I mean, people are just outraged. And in fact, it seems as if the, from what I saw, not that, you know, the Supreme Court should rule on polls, they should rule on the law, but post-Obamacare, you know, I saw on Fox News, I think it was a Rasmussen poll, that showed that the Supreme Court, people's view of the Supreme Court actually went down after the Obamacare ruling.
Right. And that might be true. And what people have to realize is that, you know, these guys are on the bench. These folks, men and women, are on the bench forever. So, you know, I really don't care. I think they really don't care what people think about them. Mm-hmm. They really don't. Because they are on the bench forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, Clarence Thomas went through a horrible time with his nomination, and I'm sure, you know, you both remember what that was like.
Oh, yeah.
And he is continually, is always, you know, assaulted by the left, and they say horrible things about him. But Clarence Thomas just keeps living his life because he's on that court for as long as he wants to be on. And there's nothing any of us can do about that. So whether we like Justice Roberts' decision or not, he has spoken. He has made, you know, they have made their final determination thus far on Obamacare, and it has to stand. Unless, of course, they're going to go through more litigation, which that is very possible that they might. Mm-hmm. But for now, Josh, this is it. And for now, I feel confident that the Commerce Clause is intact, right? So I feel good about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel good that with the whole Medicaid situation in the decision, that the court did acknowledge that the states have flexibility with deciding, you know, how they're going to fund their Medicaid patients, and that the federal government can't hold the states hostage,
mm-hmm.
cannot hold the states hostage, and can't withhold their Medicaid money. I think that was a very big win for the governors in these states.
Well, you've one, during that whole line of talking, you've spawned three different questions that I have for you, but I'm going to go in reverse order of which I came up with them. The first one is, despite the rulings last week that irk conservatives, obviously the Arizona case and Obamacare, but do you think that last week's rulings were actually a victory for states' rights?
I think on the Medicaid issue, only on the Medicaid issue.
Well, Arizona, I mean, despite the fact that most of the law was stricken down, the part that was saved was that...
The most important part was upheld on the Arizona decision.
Yeah.
But here's the sad part. Okay, so what was upheld, Josh, was that basically law enforcement has the right to stop suspicious people that they feel are suspicious or otherwise warranting to be stopped, and they have the right to ask them their immigration status, okay? So that's what's been upheld.
Mm-hmm.
But do you remember what happened that day that DOJ did?
Oh, yeah, they immediately stripped everything that they did enforcing that.
Exactly. So they set up this 800 number, so in case you feel like your civil rights have been violated, you can call.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically DOJ says, okay, Arizona, you can, you know, your law enforcement can uphold this, but do not expect any help from us.
Yeah.
Now remember, here's the thing which just galls me about this whole Arizona stuff, is that if you talk to anybody that lives in Arizona, McCain, Kyle, Jan Brewer, for goodness sakes, they have articulated and ad nauseum explained the very dire situation in Arizona. It's violent. There's bodies along the border. There's desert. The terrain has been destroyed by the coyotes. You know what I mean by coyotes, quote unquote.
Yes.
Not the animals.
Not the animal.
The people who bring the folks in, who bring the illegals in, and whatever. Who knows what they're paying, what they're being paid? But you know, it's you know, these people are desperate, so the coyotes are preying on them. So Jan Bruin laid this out. Now, this has been a saga going on for several years. So how we came to this point is what people need to remember. Because Jan Brewer reached out to DOJ. She reached out to ICE and she said, listen, I've got a terrible situation here in Arizona and I need some help. Crickets from D.C. Mm-hmm. Crickets from the Fed. She got bupkis. So what did she do? She said, okay, I'm going to handle this on my own. So she passed this law that made it all the way to the Supreme Court. And that's how we got to this point. And again, what they did after that ruling was announced is, again, I mean, clearly it seems like they have a personal vendetta against Jim Brewer and against the state of Arizona because they're doing everything they can.
Yeah, that definitely came across. I mean,
everything they can to sabotage their efforts. And that I find to be, you know, that is just so unfortunate in this whole process. It's how Jan Brewer has been portrayed. And all she's done, all she's tried to do is do right by the people of Arizona and control a very violent situation. And as she has so well said, you don't understand the situation until you live here. Mm-hmm. And you know, and you see the violence, you see the dead bodies. It is a horrible situation. And I'm doing my best to try and resolve it with, thank you, no help from the feds.
Absolutely. Well, it kind of, moving along my line of questions, it kind of going back to Justice Roberts for a second. Because you have experience working with Justice Roberts, like you said, you do
not
know
him. Not working with him, but reading his opinions and having a little, I felt like I had a little bit of insight into the type of, intellectually, the type of man he is.
Do you think that Justice Roberts is now viewed as basically George W. Bush's David Souter?
I've read that kind of stuff. I mean, I've read all sorts of things about him. I mean, we've read it all for the past week. But as all those justices should be, they are their own person, Josh. Mm-hmm. And he is going to set his legacy the way he wants it to be set.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing. So he has the right to rule the way that he wants to. He is a very smart man. He's the Chief Justice for a reason. And you know what, Josh? This is America. This is Egypt. This is Syria.
Yeah.
This is the way that he feels, and he feels that he has done an exhaustive examination of the law, and this is the conclusion he came to. Mm. And you know what? I respect that. I respect that. I'm a lawyer. I've studied this stuff. And I respect that. That's the conclusion he came to. And you know what, Josh? We have to live with it.
Well, I agree. And, you know, I know that there has been a lot of conservative discontent and backlash with Justice Roberts since the decision. But the thing is, and you know, I've heard people arguing in defense of him who are conservatives, and obviously people who are against him who are conservatives. But the thing that really kind of stuck out to me is that Justice Roberts issued the decree based on the merits and the argument that the administration presented, which was that it is a tax. And while the president and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid argued that it was constitutional under the Commerce Clause, they gave us a whole different line.
Right. That was the whole amazing thing about this, because remember, the administration essentially had three arguments, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first one was the Commerce Clause. The second one was this activity that we are mandating will eventually lead us to a tax.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have a, you know, it was kind of like the burial insurance analogy that Scalia made, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of that argument that, you know, we're going to make you buy this, and it's going to be a tax. But not an outright tax, it's kind of the, it's what's leading us up to, eventually you end it up as a tax, and that was kind of the argument. Eventually, mm-hmm. it leads up to a tax. And then the third very reluctant argument, Josh, was it's a tax. The third argument won.
Yeah.
It was the weakest argument that the administration was putting forth because they did everything but. That was the, you know, that was Alito's point, if you remember, doing oral arguments. He's like, yeah, you're going to come back next week and argue that it's a tax. That
yes.
was exactly Alito's point.
I remember
but
that.
Remember, the administration, Varela, was sheepishly, very sheepishly arguing that third point. And the third point is what Chief Justice Roberts went with.
Now,
so the sheepish point is the one that won.
Do you buy the argument then that, in a sense, even though conservatives are upset, that Justice Roberts, while he may not have, I don't buy the argument that he handed Mitt Romney a victory, but do you think that he handed Mitt Romney ammo by calling it essentially
yes,
that it is?
He absolutely handed, and this is why, you know, I put on Twitter, I said, thank you, Chief Justice Roberts. I'm not mad at him. Thank you. He gave Mitt Romney ammunition because this is the largest tax on middle-class Americans.
Exactly.
And also, if you read Chief Justice Roberts' opinion, he's laying out the game plan. He says, you know, basically, if you don't like this law, then you need to kick your member out of Congress.
Yes.
That's what he's saying. This is not, essentially what he said is, this is not the forum to debate the law.
Exactly.
You got a problem with the law, then you have November.
Exactly.
That is what he's saying. He's giving the Republicans the playbook. Go and kick these folks out of office, and he's saying, and this is how I read it, Obama's got to go. Mm-hmm. If you don't like it, Obama's got to go.
Well, this is what just drives me crazy by conservatives who have been upset over Justice Roberts, is that, yes, he kicked it back to Congress. He kicked it back to the voters.
Exactly.
That is exactly what he's supposed to do. And it is not the people were upset. They said, well, he's become an activist judge. Well, conservatives.
He was the total opposite.
Exactly. And in fact, what conservatives wanted him to be was an activist justice by turning over Obamacare, when in actuality, he put the power of overturning Obamacare back in the hands of the voters. And that
I maintain that he decided on the merits of the law, and he said, if you have a problem with it, then you need to, you know, you need to work that out with Congress. Because right here, that's not my problem.
Exactly.
You.
Exactly.
I mean, he was very clear. Mm-hmm. He was very, very clear.
Well, I want to bring up one last thing with you. And again, it is regarding Justice Roberts. And it's just because I think that these are things that we need to discuss. And I would definitely value your opinion on. There are people who are surmising and even kind of rumor mongering to a certain degree that Justice Roberts actually wrote both opinions. That he wrote the opinion that striking down Obamacare because it wasn't signed, but that he was the one who delivered upholding Obamacare.
Right.
What do you make of that? I mean, can that even?
You know, I don't know. I mean, people are coming up with all these cockamamie ideas, and, you know, Josh, I don't have an answer for you on that one. Because at that point, I just stopped listening to people. You know, everyone is trying to get inside Josh Roberts' head, and, you know, I think we just need to leave it alone and move on to November.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to do, is
That's
move
right.
on to November. And those who are concerned about the middle-class tax, one of the largest middle-class tax on Americans, on everyday Americans, then if you have a problem with that, then you know what your options are.
That's right. The president can claim all he wants that he did not raise taxes during his term. He can claim that it wasn't a tax.
This health care bill will definitely raise taxes. And let me point you to something. Americans for Tax Reform, which is run by Grover Norquist, it's very well done. They have on their site the list of taxes that accompany Obamacare, and they lay it out when they're going to be implemented. So there's some that already started in 2010, 2011, 2012, and the worst ones will be implemented in the later years, like 2018, after Obama's out of office. That's the big whoppers, are those ones that are implemented in the later years, when he would already be gone, whether he wins a second term or not. But you should have a look at that list, because it's very clear, it breaks it down. And when you see this, you're like, we can't turn into Europe based on this. We cannot do that. We just absolutely, our country cannot go in this direction. It simply can't.
Exactly.
Simply can't.
Well, Sherilyn, as usual, you bring your wisdom, your wit, everything to the show. That's why we love having you on. Where can they find you on the internet?
They can find me on Twitter at Harley, H-A-R-L-E-Y, Lebon, L-E-B-O-N. I'm also on Facebook under Sherilyn Harley Lebon. I love to tweet, I follow back, and I'm always tweeting out the latest issues of the day. I think that Twitter allows us all to be online activists. I love it, and I encourage more people to use it.
Absolutely, and we're happy that Sherilyn is back online after being out of power for several days.
Yes, yes. It was a humbling experience for all of us, and I'm just glad to be back online and back into civilization again.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Sherilyn, thanks for being on this week. We obviously will have you back on the show. You're one of our favorites.
And I love being on the show with you guys. Thanks so much for having me, and thanks so much to your listeners.
I want to thank all of my guests this evening, including Terry Kristoff and Sherilyn Harley Lebon, as well as Hannah Drasich, who you heard in the first segment. The music you heard this evening was from Andy Ziff. You can find him at andyzipf.com, as well as SoulFood76. You can find me at Twitter at Josh Gillespie and Mark Warner at mwarner95. You can find more of our shows at joshgillespie.com. You want to stay tuned next for the Snark Factor with Fingers Malloy and the Snark Factor Players. You've been listening to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. Have a good one.
It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?